Welcome to the Data Morgana podcast, the show in which we explore the future of the internet. I'm your host, Julia Jensen. I'm an artist researching the impact of technology on our society, and I'm a data protection ambassador. Data Morgana is an initiative by Public Spaces, a network of civic society organizations reclaiming the internet as a force for the common good. It's 2025. The internet has fallen into the hands of a few big tech companies. Under the promise to make our world better, more fair and efficient, they collect our data on a massive scale. But does this really make our world a better place? Or is it nothing more than an illusion, a data morgana? In this show, we're looking into hopeful initiatives happening around Europe that are shaping a better digital future. I just had a conversation with Arnau Monter de Mateo, Director of Democratic Innovation at the Barcelona City Council and co-founder of Decidim, a digital platform for citizen participation. Decidim is reprogramming democracy by making it participatory. I read on their website, democracy never felt so real, and this really got my attention. During our conversation, Arnau made some very interesting points about citizenship and what participating in a democracy really means. This conversation gave me a lot of food for thought, and I hope it will do the same for you. Hi, Arnau. Welcome to the Data Morgana podcast. It's a pleasure having you on this show. And I'm really looking forward to learn more about Decidim and participatory democracy. And I would like you to start with explaining what that actually means, participatory democracy, because it's such an interesting term, but maybe unfamiliar to most.
Okay, hello. Thanks for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be here. And yes, to give you a general idea about what does mean participatory democracy is this process where we explore to go deep the main extended idea of democracy, which is the representative democracy, where we are voting every 4 or 5 years, but actually this is a very, very small capacity to have influence on power. And participatory democracy wants to explore other ways, channels, possibilities to be part of the common and everyday decisions that are affecting our life. At the end, participatory democracy means to take part of the management of our life in a collective way, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And so Decidim provides a platform to do that. How does that exactly work?
Okay, to understand Decidim, we always try to explain in three dimensions, because Decidim is a digital platform to promote participatory democracy for cities, public institutions, or social organizations. And yeah, we explain in these three dimensions. The first one is a platform to promote any kind of participatory process or action in a collective way. Debates, collection of proposals, deliberation, the connection between the physical and the digital space through physical assemblies or debates, etc. We have a set of features that allows to create different and simple or complex ways to participate in our organization, in a city, in an institution, at different scales. This is the first one. The second one, and it's very important, is the technological dimension, because it's a free software solution, an open source solution that allows to everyone to see how the code is done and to audit the code, to reproduce the code, to copy the code, to spread the code, to do whatever you want with the code, but just with one condition: you have to keep always the same license. It's digital commons. If we are promoting democracy, we need to create technology transparent, technology accessible. And the most important thing, and this is the third layer, is how we have built this technology. We are creating technology for democracy, and we have done in a democratic way. What does mean? This means that we create a community, and we create a process of designing the technology that the people can be part of. we create software in a participatory manner. And this means that we have a huge community at the international level that the community are contributing to the software, discussing the features, the different possibilities, the versions, etc. We create participatory software.
Amazing. And where does this idea originate from? Like, what was you feel lacking maybe in your city, Barcelona, or what do you feel the need or the urge for participatory democracy in this level?
Yeah, the platform was born in Barcelona, here attending a specific necessity of the city to create a participatory process for the strategic planning of the city. And they want to do in a democratic way. And we decided to create a platform to articulate this process. We decided to do it using open source technology. And this fastly was extended to other organizations and countries that they have the same need.
So it was a request from the municipality to design something like this.
Yes, more or less. It was a combination between the political moment in 2015 here in Barcelona and also in Spain, with the whole wave of the Indignados movement, where the people were in the squares, and it was a very effervescent moment with a lot of political tension and a lot of demonstrations and the people claiming for more democracy. It was something that was in the air, right? And probably this wave influenced a lot the political moment where a city decided to do this.
Yeah, no, that's super interesting. And it's also, I think, very new. I haven't heard about this level of democracy or citizen participation yet. Do you think like it's specifically designed for a city like Barcelona, or is it something that is applicable in multiple cities as well, or even countries?
Today, the CDM is being used in more than 30 countries in the world. We are around 600 installations running. And from the beginning, it was a decision to try to create something flexible and generic as possible to be reused by others. And sometimes it's difficult because obviously the cultural context and the people who is designing the technology has a different influences. But we decided to do this agnosticism in the design to be used in different contexts. And probably this is why, and thanks to be an open source solution that a lot of institutions and organizations start to use the platform.
So can you give us maybe an example of how these spaces of participation work? Like, how is it applied?
Well, we have a lot of examples. Obviously, I have to talk from the city of Barcelona, where we have had a huge and really amazing participatory process to design and a strategic planning of the city with the involvement of more than 20,000 people. We collect more than 2,000 projects that the government decide to analyze these projects, and later they decide to accept 80% of the projects, and they decide to follow up how the projects were executed. It was like a completely a full participatory experience with more than 400 physical meetings. And also we have had two editions of participatory budgeting in the city with more than 100,000 people involved, which is really, really amazing, where we have created this process of collecting ideas and deliberation and projects where there can be executed. But also I think that there are a lot of other amazing experiences. For example, the case of the federal government of Brazil. The federal government of Brazil has a really amazing process at the federal level using the CDM, or for example the European Commission promoting some debates, the debate of the future of Europe through the CDM platform. And there are a lot of other amazing experience in France, in Japan, in other countries.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what are things that they're voting on? Is this something that's is also known to you, or is it completely closed?
No, everything is open and accessible in general, and the most common practices are participatory budgeting process, deliberation process, participatory in urban planning, participation in urban planning, citizen councils, councils where the people can be part of this kind of actions we see.
Yeah.
General assemblies of organizations, for example, these kind of things.
And with urban planning, it could be something like, do we plant a tree there or build concrete, or where do we provide more housing or schools, for example? Is this on this kind of scale or?
Yeah, depending on the design, but there are like more strategic view to planning design for a specific neighborhood or specific area. But then we have like examples more small that we have to rebuild this square, and we're going to design in with citizens and decide how going to be. And we have like different sessions of debate and collection of proposals. And the interesting thing in the CDM is that you can follow up all the process. You can see in every moment which decisions are with taking and which things are being deliberated, etc. You can follow everything, and you can design the process according your necessities.
Interesting. And what is your role within this organization, and how do you work together with your team?
I am one of the co-founders of the platform, and now I'm running the direction of citizen participation and democratic innovation in the city of Barcelona. Mm-hmm. And I am one of the leaders of the project in the city. But also we create something very interesting, because the community creates an association, which is called the CDM Association. And we have like the representative part in the public institution, but today, the Association of the CDM has emerged as the community actor in the project to ensure that the principles of the project are guaranteed, like the social contract and the technical issues, the democratic principles, etc. And we have this combination about the public and the community, and this is very interesting when we talk about the public common goods. Or digital goods in this case.
Yeah, because your organization is built on like public values, like open standards, right? What are the core values that you want to aspire?
We base obviously in the principle of democracy, the free access to the knowledge, the free access to the
What does that exactly mean to you, like the principle of democracy?
It's a difficult question, but it's to have a radical position when we talk about democracy, in the sense that we have to go to the root of the principle, and thus means that the power remains to the people, and how we can give to the people the capacity to take decisions at all the different levels. Mm-hmm. And also, obviously, we are very influenced for the principles of open access to knowledge, transparency, traceability, integrity, accessibility, all the principles that guarantee a democracy.
Yeah. And I feel like democracy is something that is spoken of lately more often than maybe before to most, because there is a lot at stake at the moment in the world. Do you feel like that technology, because of course this is a way to incorporate technology to empower people and their voices in democracy, but there is also, well, a threat towards democracy, I guess. Do you feel like technology and the internet and maybe big tech organizations or big tech corporations are a threat towards democracy in general, or is it maybe exaggerated what's happening in the world?
Yeah, obviously the situation today is not the same that it was on 2015 and 16 when we started the project, because in this moment we were in a moment that everybody was using the technology, coming from a wave with a lot of principles based on a free internet and this capacity to extend democracy and to use the technologies for the collective action, for the common good, etc. But the last years we have seen the rise of big tech and the concentration of power and how we are losing democracy in a very fast way. Actually, we are losing all the capacity because we have seen these problems that we are trying to solve with initiatives like the CDIM, in the sense that we don't have a centered power, we don't have this centered decision-making process, we don't have to this massive surveillance process, we don't have have rights when the people are scraping our data and feeding the algorithms. We don't have these kind of things that are happening in our everyday digital life. And we have a huge concentration of power of the big tech. They have every day more influence on the political campaigns and the political opinion, on the political behavior, because they are designing the technology just to promote specific values based on the, against democracy at the end. The main values that are promoting the or spreading directly or indirectly the big techs are absolutely crazy. And I think that we need to fight for this. And fight for this means that we have to create public technologies, democratic technologies, distributed technologies, technologies with control of the people, technologies that put the people in the center of the technology and not the markets and the economical values, etc. We need this kind of technologies when we talk about democracy and the battle against the big tech.
Yeah, for sure. And do you, have you ever had any interest from big tech organizations in your product? Were are people like threatened by it? Are they inspired by it? Is it completely opaque to them? I can imagine like they could benefit a lot from systems like this to, democratize social media, for example.
Yeah, I'm very interested in the gray zones and the contradictions of the social networks and the big tech, because to give you an example, a lot of big tech are using common knowledge and common languages and open source solutions created by communities during years on the internet, right? And they are capturing this knowledge, this collective knowledge, and they are privatizing. For example, what are doing the artificial intelligence models are feeding their models with the knowledge on the internet, and then they are privatizing the solutions. For example, the different algorithms that are using this data. I'm interested in this contradiction because how we can imagine a free internet, a democratic internet, preserving these values. And I think that in these contradictions, I think that we should learn on that technological things that they are doing good in terms of, they have a huge capacity to invest a lot of money, and they find sometimes good solutions, for example, to improve digital process or facilitate communication or provide new ways to cooperate on the digital, right? But we need democratic guarantees on this process. And I'm sure that the solution is not just to put regulation or a lot of they have to pay a lot of money just because to have this right. I think that we have to create other technologies, public technologies, common technologies to create alternative at the end to these non-democratic technologies that are governing us.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm curious to hear more about kind of these spaces of participation that you are creating. So how does these look like? Like, can everybody just start a space like this, or do you need to be a governmental organization, or how does this exactly look like?
Yes, with just a small knowledge, technological knowledge, you can run an installation of the CDIM, and it can work for organizations like NGO or union or social movement with more than 100 or 200 people until huge cities, regions, or countries. And the CDIM is designed to organize a huge, massive participation process. And yes, it's very flexible.
Yeah, super interesting. And how do you secure such a system? Because you're dealing with a lot of data, a lot of highly secured, or like level of security is needed in order to ensure this process. How does that work? Is that challenging?
Always is a challenging, and today more, but we have a decentralized infrastructure. This means that the data is managed by each organization. We don't have a centralized model where we have all the installations and all the data. We just run the data and the installation of Barcelona in our case. And each city has the capacity to control their own digital infrastructure. And this is very secure and actually is the most recommendable model, because you have the sovereignty in the capacity to manage your own technology.
Yeah.
And thanks to be an open source solution, we have like periodic audits and we have we receive a lot of contributions and reports on security. And to be open is a very good way to be secure, because if someone finds a problem with security, they report us and we correct. And we also are correcting all the time security issues.
I mean, it's a huge responsibility for them as well to deal with this bunch of data, because this is something not all organizations are very capable of. We've seen some troubles in the past. So I think that's if you can create a safe space for that, that's super, super important and super valuable for sure. I hope that's something to be encouraged in the future and in different levels as well. And do you think like the decision-making process of... How do you call it, like a voting? Is that also like transparent? Is that something that is also secured? Sometimes democracy is suffering from bias, especially also in technology. How do you ensure that's not happening?
Yeah, it's a good question. At the end, it's a very human and political decision, because when we are promoting participatory actions, we always provide support on the physical level, information points, voting support points. We have like a huge strategy in the case of the city of Barcelona to ensure that nobody is behind when we are promoting the participation. And we always create in parallel the digital spaces, but also the physical spaces, just to ensure that we have the complementation to be sure that everybody is inside, okay? And we create training sessions, we create, a lot of physical points. For example, in the city of Barcelona, since 2016, we have more than 5,000 meetings, physical meetings documented on the platform. And you can see where it was, which agreements we had in these meetings, who participated in these meetings, etc., which organizations. I think that this is the value of the city in this hybrid model, where we combine all the time the digital and the physical. Mm-hmm. The digital doesn't substitute the physical. The digital is a new layer that raise the participation also on the physical and amplify the capacity to be part of.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, because that's almost is like an educational tool also for what citizenship maybe means, or what democracy really means. And I think that's kind of lacking, especially, for example, in education. We learn mathematics, and I learned Spanish in high school, but I completely forgot about it. But I never really kind of at the core learned how to be a good citizen or how democracy really works. So I think that's super valuable as a byproduct almost there as well, especially nowadays where maybe these things are especially at stake due to everybody living in their own personalized and targeted world through their phones. Do you feel like that is also something that is... threatening the process or the participation of democracy in that manner? Or do you feel like people are still super capable to make proper and informed decisions?
It should be, I think that it should be mandatory in the school, the participatory democracy. We are imagining how we can build from the beginning the culture of democracy, the culture of be part of something collective, etc. We are seeing that there are a lot of individualization in society. There are a lot of atomization, and the people knows how to do clicks in the phone, but the people need also to learn, because also is a learning process how to work in a collective manner, and how we create together, think together, be governed and govern together, right? And this is the challenge. For example, now in Barcelona we are creating a child council where the kids of the city can be part of the decision making process in the city, and this try to answer the question how we can create this culture of democracy from the beginning, because if they learn then can influence to the government when they are 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. They are learning that they have the capacity to be part of, and they has the capacity to be part of the city and the decision making process. And this is a learning. Is if they just learn that the politicians are corrupt and they just have voting every 4 years, but this depends on the political campaigns and the control of social networks, they definitely lose the desire to be part of. And I think that we have to do education on that.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. Thanks. Do you feel like the future of democracy is online and is participatory?
Obviously, the digital will be important, but I think that the digital is not the key. The digital will be there, but we have to fight for a democratic digital. And the future of democracy definitely remains to fight all the inequalities that we have on the digital, but also to reimagine the democracy. We have to reimagine the limits that are showing the representative democracy. And it's very difficult, the challenge, but I think that we have to reimagine the democracy and to promote other ways to be part of and to govern ourselves.
Yeah, this is the challenge. Do you think like that change is kind of a very radical change, or is it something that we kind of build on the foundation of what democracy is today and adjust it to our current society? Because of course it's invented like hundreds, thousands of years ago. Do you feel like we need to completely kind of reimagine how that works? Or are the foundations quite solid?
I'm worried about the slow capacity to change of democracy, because sometimes it's a value in terms of guarantee of rights, but also we need to have more capacity to innovate in favor of human rights, people rights, democratic rights. We are losing this, and this is also because the fundamental values of democracy are not enough solid, and we need like more. Maybe we need to rethink these principles to ensure that we don't have another permanent rise of fascism and war and the problems that we have to face in this moment, climate change, poverty, inequality, etc. And this is why we have to review the basis of that, and also review the non-democratic capacity of the economic model to
for sure
to update.
Yeah, no, that's
true. In this situation.
Yeah, what do you need to grow in the future? Like, how will your platform expand towards something that you envision?
I think that the project is moving so fast, actually, but I think that we need to maybe involve more public institutions at the different dimensions and at different scales, not just to use our technology, because we are not a sellers of technology. We want to extend the democracy, and we are actually, we have a very good relations with other similar projects that share our values in terms of open source and democracy. I think that the question is how, from this kind of experience, we are pushing the governments to invest a lot in public digital solutions, to have sovereignty, to have the capacity to face the control of big techs and the loss of democracy in these big tech models that are spreading everywhere. I think that we have to reinforce and to create this alliance with communities in order to have an alternative to the big tech model.
Yeah, we're almost at the end, and I want to thank you so much for this conversation. It's been super interesting. Are there any final words that you want to share with our audience?
No, the importance to be in the ground, be with people, think with people, design and produce the changes with the people, and we have to still be innovating and also to see to the past, because sometimes we don't have imagination, but we can see what has happened before, and we have a lot of amazing experience where we can fit our imagination in order to innovate and to change, to defend the democracy in these difficult moments at the international level.
Beautiful. That's a great note to end on. Thank you so much, Arnaud. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you very much. It has been a pleasure to be here.
Data Morgana is funded by the European Union. Views and opinions expressed are, however, those of the authors only and do not necessarily reflect those of the European Union or the Directorate General for Communications Network, Content and Technology. Neither the European Union nor the granting authority can be held responsible for them.